Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, those of you who are here in person and those of you joining us online. Welcome. We have a few announcements this morning. First, the scholarship gift card basket raffle continues. That drawing will be held on June 12th. But Joe is still accepting gift cards and is still selling tickets. He's not here today, but if you want some tickets after worship, I can help you buy those. The special music for this summer begins next Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. If you would like to provide special music during the offertory, please sign up. I have some very exciting news about the Bluegill Bash yesterday. It was a wonderful event that was held in memory of Gary Hedrick. All along, it had been Hunter's hope to raise $500 for the Lutheran Men in Mission because the Brotherhood was such an important part of Gary's life and his life here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Hunter, it was officially tallied that we raised $1,000 yesterday with the Bluegill Bash. That's double your goal, and I know that your papa is so, so proud, and I know that the Brotherhood is so grateful for that gift and that they want to use it in a special way that would honor your papa. So thank you for putting that together, for coming up with the vision, and just bringing all of the details together. It was a great event.
Speaking of that event, there was a jacket left. If anyone knows whose jacket it is, they put me in college jacket.
Excellent. We have a few birthdays this week. Judy McLean, Amy Horn, Isabel Heitman, Randy Heilman, Joe Davis, and Judy Black. And Herbert and Debbie Frank have an anniversary this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And then we have a couple of prayer shawls over here. One is for Charlie Kahlo, who is a dear friend of Frank and Janine's, and she is going through chemo treatments. And Woody Sturdivant is the baby brother of Libby Carrick, and he too is going through chemo treatments. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that every single time we come to you in prayer, that you are waiting with arms wide open, ready to hold us and all of our cares and our joys, our delight and our sorrows. We thank you for the ministry of prayer shawls here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, for all of those who donate the yarn, and for all of those who use the gifts of their hands to knit and crochet these prayer shawls. We ask that you would be with Woody and Charlie as they go through their chemo treatments, that you would remind them that you are with them, that you would send to them kind and compassionate medical care providers, and that as they feel the weight of these prayer shawls around their shoulders or on their laps, that they would feel the weight of our prayers and our love here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the waters of baptism, we have passed over from death to life with Jesus Christ, and we are a new creation. For this saving mystery and for this water, let us bless God, who was, who is, and who is to come. We thank you, God, for your river of life, flowing freely from your throne, through the earth, through the city, through every living thing. You rescued Noah and his family from the flood. You opened wide the sea for the Israelites. And now in these waters, you flood us with mercy, and our sin is drowned forever. You open the gate of righteousness, and we pass safely through. In Jesus Christ, you calm and trouble the waters. You nourish us and enclose us in safety. You call us forth and send us out. In lush and barren places, you are with us. You have become our salvation. Now breathe upon this water and awaken your church once more. Claim us again as your beloved and holy people. Quench our thirst, cleanse our hearts, wipe away every tear. To you, our beginning and our end, our shepherd and lamb, be glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving now and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit.
From the 16th chapter of Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace the following day to Neapolis and there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river. Where we stopped there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be a faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 67. May God be merciful to us and bless us. Let your way be known upon earth,
your saving help among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide all nations on earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. The earth had brought forth its increase.
God, our own God, has blessed us.
May God give us blessing.
And may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
The second reading is from Revelation. And in the spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and the lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring it into the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing through the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life and its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no more light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Word of life, word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hello, Conrad. Thank you for serving as acolyte today. Hi, Gavin. Hi, Cameron. You want to come sit up here with us? What do you have there? Oh, some stickers of frogs. You like frogs, don't you? And some of our confirmands, Isabel and Rosalie and Gracie. Good morning, everybody. Are you guys excited for school to be out in just a few days? Yes, summer is coming and you get to sleep in and have some fun. Yeah? Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about communion this morning. So I don't know if you've noticed, but every once in a while in the last few weeks, we've been having bread again for communion and wine or grape juice. Now we still have some of those self-contained elements that we need to use up, so we'll still have those from time to time. But I thought, you know, it's been a while since we've had bread on a regular basis, so I just wanted to tell you a couple of things. So when I am at the table and I pray over the wine and the bread, the presence of Jesus becomes a part of the wine and the bread, so that when we eat it and we drink it, we literally get to taste and drink God's love for us, and the presence of Jesus goes into us. And so that means that all over the bread, above it and under and within it, is the presence of Jesus, just like the wine. And so that means what we do with the bread once the bread has been blessed at the table is also really important, because the presence of Jesus stays a part of that bread. So a couple weeks ago, you probably saw that after I had given out communion, there were some crumbs of bread that fell on the floor, and I bent down to pick those up. And then after worship, I took those crumbs and put them out on the grass. Because even in those crumbs is the presence of Jesus, and we want to be reverent and respectful and careful what we do with those crumbs, because Jesus' presence is a part of that. And so in that vein, I wanted to invite you that when we have bread, after worship is over, after we sing the last song, if there is still bread up here, you may come up and finish eating that bread. Because that, since that bread has been blessed and consecrated, we still have to be careful with what we do with it. So it either, two things can happen. It needs to be eaten, or we need to take it outside and put it back on the earth and back to creation. And the same with the wine. The wine has to either be consumed, we either have to drink it, or back here in the sacristy, there's a special sink where the drain goes directly into the earth, so that if we pour the wine down that sink, it doesn't just go into the sewer, but it goes back into the earth, because the presence of Jesus is a part of it. And the same is true with the water in the baptismal font. When we pray over that, Jesus' presence becomes a part of it. So we don't just pour it down a regular sink and let it go down to the sewer. We pour it down the drain in this special sink so it can go back to the earth. So I don't know if you guys knew that, but I thought it was kind of interesting. And really what I wanted to do was invite you after worship, anytime we have bread, I wanted to invite you to come up to the table and finish eating the bread. And then what doesn't get finished eating, we can take outside and put on the grass. How does that sound? Good? So will you come up after worship and get some extra bread? Okay. Let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for each other. And thank you for the gift of communion. Help us to honor you and your presence that becomes a part of the bread and the wine, with what we do during and after communion. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. The same is true for all of you, by the way, that if you want to come up and eat some more of the bread after worship, it isn't just for the kiddos, but we do need help eating it. And because I'm gluten-free, I can't, so we need your help. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon comes from the Acts passage. And we don't always hear a lot of sermons from the book of Acts, do we? In fact, this week I tried to think back through how many sermons I might have heard or read from the book of Acts over the years, and I really could only think of a couple. I led a Bible study a couple of years ago on the book of Acts as we were thinking about being in the midst of the pandemic. And as we were trying to figure out what being the church looked like in the absence of being able to gather together in person, and the ways that the disciples navigated the early beginnings of the church, coming together, being together, it was really a helpful study. But otherwise, we don't really hear a lot of sermons on the book of Acts. And in general, we just don't spend a lot of time there, do we? We spend a lot of time in the Gospels. We spend time in some of Paul's letters more than others. But for some reason, this week, I kept being drawn to this Acts passage and to learn a little more about Lydia, the woman we hear about in it. As I pondered this passage on this sixth Sunday of Easter, I kept being drawn to what God was doing in their lives. People who, like us, during this season of Eastertide, have been asking ourselves, okay, Jesus is risen, but now what do we do? The people in Acts were asking the same questions. You see, we've been trying this Eastertide to understand more fully and more deeply what Jesus' resurrection means for how we are to live in the world and in community with one another in the church. The disciples and the apostles in the book of Acts are wondering the same thing, and in today's story, we get to witness them trying to figure out how they are to live in a post-resurrection world. Remember, they had witnessed Jesus' suffering and death. They had engaged with him for 40 days after his resurrection, before he ascended into heaven. They witnessed his ascension, which we will celebrate next Sunday. And then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, they received the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now they are trying to figure out how they are to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 2,000 years later, I think we are still trying to figure out that same thing in our world, in our context, and in our lives. So here in Acts chapter 16, we encounter Paul and his companions Silas and Timothy. They were traveling as the Spirit led them to Philippi, where they met a woman named Lydia. We know almost nothing about her except for what these few verses offer. But still, she fascinates me. Who is she? The text tells us that she was a seller of purple goods and that she was a worshiper of God. And in these two phrases, we learn so much about her. First, she is one of the only women in Scripture who is not identified as property or in relation to a man. So in the biblical times, all over 1,000 years of them, women were seen and viewed as property. And nearly every woman in the Bible is introduced as she is related to a man, how she is one man's property, whether she is someone's daughter, or someone's mother, or someone's wife. But not Lydia. Lydia is introduced as just Lydia, a businesswoman who is independent and who is the head of her own household. This is incredibly rare in the Bible and in biblical times. She made her way as a successful business owner. Purple goods were incredibly, incredibly expensive. And to have her own household and to be an independent woman, independent of her relationship to a man, tells us that she was quite a successful businesswoman, able to manage her business, able to manage her household. And as such, she probably had a significant number or a significant amount of resources, including monetarily. In fact, Lydia's house will become the site of the house church for the church in Philippians, the church that Paul wrote the letter of Philippians to. So Lydia, in just these two verses, is introduced to us as quite a remarkable woman. She made her way successfully as an independent businesswoman in a world run by men. So in the two phrases, we learn that she is a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. We learn that work and worship both had their place in her life. She was kind of a combination of Mary and Martha, and I think is an example for all of us, where we have a balance of work and worship, work and worship. On this particular day in this story, she goes to the river to pray, likely because there was no synagogue in Philippi. Lydia, at that riverside, found God, who was already finding her. You see, this story reminds us that God is searching us out. God is seeking us, and God always finds us long before we ever seek or search or find God. This is one of the reasons why we baptize infants in the Lutheran Church, to remind us that God's love and God's mercy and God's grace for us is never about anything that we do or any effort on our part. Long before we can ever show any reciprocal nature of love or care back to God, God loves and cares for us fully and completely. Long before we can ever do anything to God or respond to God's love and mercy and grace, God has already reached out to us in love. God is always the initiator. God is always the one finding us. And at the riverside this day, Lydia found God, who had already been finding her. The Holy Spirit had sent Paul and his companions to her so that on this day she could hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And that same Spirit who brought Paul and his companions to her to hear that good news had already been preparing her heart to hear and to receive and to understand all that Paul would say. The text says that the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And on that day, the longing that she had the eagerness that the Lord gave her was met with God's lavish and unlimited grace as she was baptized along with her household at that riverside. She was washed in God's love and mercy and grace. With God's word and water that day, her sins were forgiven, and she became God's beloved daughter. She was sealed with the Holy Spirit, and as she went under the water, she died to herself and to her sin and to death. And when she rose up out of that water, she was risen to new life in Christ, and she was transformed. Not just in who she was, but we see it in her actions as well. God welcomed her as God's beloved daughter, and immediately her actions followed suit. She urged Paul and his companions to stay at her home. God had opened her heart, and she opened her home, offering all of who she was and all that she had so that God could use it to spread the good news of God's love and grace and mercy to all the world. We know that Paul stayed with Lydia in her house on multiple occasions, and that it was through her generous and abundant hospitality that the church in Philippi was started and grew and was sustained. Lydia, through her baptism, became a disciple of Christ, and God used her gifts of giving and generosity and hospitality to situate and grow the church in Philippi. Brothers and sisters, on this side of the resurrection, I want to remind all of us that our baptism is the same baptism that Lydia and her household experienced that day. That just as God found her, God finds us, and God never stops seeking us. We often wander from God. Our hearts are prone to wander. And yet God is always welcoming, waiting for us to welcome us home with God's arms and heart wide open. There's a reason that the baptismal font is at the front and center of our worship space. Every time we sit in this sanctuary, every time we worship God in this place, the font is to be at the center of our attention. Because our life in Christ begins and ends at the font. Just like Lydia, we are washed in God's mercy and love and grace. Just like Lydia, our sins are forgiven. We are given the gift of eternal life in this water through God's grace. And when we are baptized, we too are marked with the sign of the cross and are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit gives us gifts to love and serve God and love and serve the world. And then we are called out into the world to help spread the good news of God's love for all the earth and for all people in our words and our actions. In our baptism, we become new creations and we are transformed to be God's hands and God's feet, to be God's presence in the world. When we come to God's table, we are fed with the very presence of Jesus so that we can go out and feed the world with the love of God. We too are called on this side of the resurrection to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This isn't just the call for Paul, and it's not just the call for Lydia and the church at Philippi. It's the same call for all of us and for Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We, like Lydia, are called to offer God all of who we are and all that we have to help spread the good news of God's mercy and grace in the risen Christ. So when you come to the table today to be fed and nourished with God's love and God's grace, so that you can go out and feed the world with that same love and grace, stop at the font and remind yourself that you are baptized, that your sins are forgiven in that water, that you are God's beloved children, that you too are marked with the sign of the cross and sealed with the Holy Spirit, who helps us to live out our baptismal calling, because we can't do it on our own. But God has given us God's very own Spirit to empower us and to inspire us, to guide us and lead us, to love God and love others and love the world that God has made and redeemed. As we too are filled with the Holy Spirit in our baptism, we are able to let our light so shine so that others may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Amen.
Together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Alive in the risen Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. God of new life, open your church to the unexpected ways your Spirit is at work. Guide bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay leaders in their visioning, partnership, and planning. Surround us with your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give a vision of abundant harvest for farmers, laborers, and gardeners who are beginning their growing season. Join their efforts with the goodness of creation to feed all living things. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Shine your light of wisdom and peace among nations. When those in power seek to assert dominance over others, confound their ways and make them yield to your humble authority. Lord, in your mercy, give safe haven to those who seek healing and peace, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, John, Mike, Latifa, Sandra, Jana, Carrie, Joe, Myra, and Joe, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips, or silently in our hearts. Create places filled with hospitality where hurting people find your loving presence and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Uphold the work of ministries and organizations in our community who assist people experiencing homelessness, hunger, and violence. Accomplish your will through their efforts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Assemble your people at rivers, streams, and fonts, where we remember our baptism and welcome others into the communion of saints. Gather us with those who have died when we meet together at your river of life. Lord, in your mercy,
into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your goodness, grace, and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of Christ's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ dwells with us here. All who are hungry, come. All who are thirsty, come.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you give thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia.